The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today, everyone.
Yes. And thank you. And, you know, congratulations to all of those couples who have been married already this year, especially that we are in wedding season. Woo woo.
Yes, May is like a gun that goes off for wedding industry professionals. And I think that's true that's from coast to coast.
Yeah.
May is crazy town. And then you add in high school graduations, college graduations, the million and ten things that elementary school kids do in May, that is like mind blow. Like every day is something else. And it's also the month that most weddings in the spring are in May, and it kind of kicks off the next 6 months for those of us in the industry.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, summer, which is like wedding after wedding after wedding. Like some of you out there may, if you're in your mid 20s to late 30s, you've probably got a lot of weddings. You probably attended quite a few. You're probably going to quite a few. Christy, you went to how many already?
Well, I did. I went to two in May, and then I was actually out of town more in May than I was in town, which is crazy because I'm not, you know, you're like traveling all over the place, but I'm like rooted here. This is it. And we don't go on trips all that often. So I had a wedding in California and I had a wedding in Chicago and a big kind of trip in between. But during all that time, I was also working on this graduation party that just happened last night. So it's been just a whirlwind. And here in Texas, like probably all of Texas, but I can definitely speak to North Texas, like July and August are kind of a lull.
Because it's so effing hot.
Yeah. Like, it's so hot. And I actually have a wedding in July. And there are weddings in July and August, but they're all indoors and, you know, nobody even tries to do anything outside. And it's uncomfortably hot. So you don't want to ask, like, your family from all over the country to come here in August for any reason. But I do have a wedding in July, and then it picks back up big time in September, October. And I remember those were the two biggest months in the Bay Area also.
Yeah, September.
Is that true,
like,
for Boston also?
I think so, yeah, because the fall here is really amazing. And I'm not going to pretend like I've done a ton of weddings out here because I haven't. Because, you know, when we moved here, we thought we'd be here max 2 years. And now, you know, 6.5 years later,
here we are.
Yeah. And I love when I get inquiries during this time of the year for winter weddings, like January weddings. I don't know what it is, but January weddings have been my favorite weddings historically in my career. So when somebody inquires now, when we're in the middle of this wedding season for a 2018 January wedding, I really want to book that because I want to know, like, after the summer weddings and everything I'm doing right now, the things I'm actively doing, that I have this kind of standalone winter wedding to look forward to.
Yeah.
Plus I just love like the aesthetic of winter weddings and like the rich tones and textures and velvet and long sleeve dresses and all of that, that we're very far away from that right now, but I'm looking forward to my January weddings as well.
Yeah. And I want to throw a shout out to all of you wedding vendors out there, because it has come to our attention, you know, this podcast for us is still very much new, even though we've almost had it. Well, we've been working on it for over a year now, but I've noticed now through our social media, I'm noticing a lot of vendors are listening to us. And I love that. I love that. And I love you guys. And we love our couples and we love our vendors. And vendors, you're working your ass off right now, okay? I know you are. I know your blood, sweat, and tears and love for this industry is just like killing you right now. Well, not quite yet. It's the beginning of wedding season, but
we're consuming a lot of coffee. That's for sure.
That is for sure.
It's the time of the year that like networking and going to like industry happy hours and cocktail hours, like those kind of end until late October because everyone's just like full steam ahead and business. There's no time to like meet up and create new relationships. You're calling like the people that you're working on the next wedding with. And those are the people that you're in contact with right now. And, you know, almost all weddings and special events are on weekends.
Yeah.
So in summer, when your kids are out of school and like just everything's topsy-turvy with schedules, but it's pretty standard that wedding industry professionals are working every weekend in the season. If, you know, maybe you have one weekend off a month, but that can get tricky. So, you know,
hats
you have our love,
yeah.
Vendors, and we're in the same boat with you. Like you said with Kathy, the rentals guru in our last episode, like it is weekend city for all of us.
Yep. Work hard, play hard. That's what we do, people.
But anyway. Okay, so one of the weddings that I did in May was Matt and Amanda.
Yes.
Who have been on the podcast twice now, and we're going to do as soon as they get back from their very long honeymoon.
Really?
In Hawaii. Yes, they took, like, they really did it. Because they've both been working so much on different projects leading up to the wedding. Even, like, Amanda had to fly off to shoot a show the next day after the wedding in Canada.
In Canada. How long was she in Canada?
Well, she was there, like, up until 3 days before her wedding, and then the day after her wedding, she had to fly back out to finish shooting this pilot. So it was, you know, they were like, we're having to postpone our honeymoon. So when we finally do it, we're really going to go big.
Good. Good for them. Good for you guys. If you're listening to us on your honeymoon.
So as soon as they're back and like settled in, we'll schedule a time to have them back on the show and sort of do a in retrospect
right.
of yeah, their wedding we and should. How everything came yeah. together.
What would you have done differently? Nothing. I loved it all.
Yes, but they definitely have some things that they would have done. Like, I was there, you know, and my husband was a groomsman and I ran their ceremony. And there were some big things that were like just, out of our control. I'm still planning on submitting the wedding. So I don't want to I don't want to share too many details.
Yeah.
But when I was thinking about this episode and you and I talking, like catching up, and we should both say like things we've learned from this month as wedding planners, like, or things that we relearned or were reminded of.
Yeah.
One of the first things that popped in my mind was when you hire a DJ.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this was a destination wedding, essentially. So they used a lot of local vendors that they weren't able to meet with in person or, there weren't that many choices, which is common in destination weddings. If you get married somewhere where, you know, you don't want to, basically they didn't want to bring in a DJ from LA and pay all the extra money that it would cost for an extra night's hotel stay and transportation and all that. And there are these DJ companies out in the San Ynez Valley where they did get married.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired a DJ company that they really liked and were excited about. They talked about it a little bit on one of those podcasts we recorded with them. But a big lesson was, and take note if you're planning your wedding, if you need a second system for your ceremony, meaning your ceremony and your reception are maybe at the same venue but in different places, and the DJ says, I'll bring a second system for the ceremony. In my experience, usually that's like $300 added on to a DJ package already. And it's speakers and a little board. Like, not their full setup, but just sort of a easy to transport situation for the DJ. And maybe you picked three songs that you want him to play for the processional and the recessional. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
If the DJ says he's going to bring a second system, it is imperative that you ask and you make sure that that second system is an actual system and not just some speakers that they set up professionally. They're, you know, they know about AV stuff, and then they plan on playing music off of their phone or iPad. There's just too much that can go wrong. I think it became very clear to us that during this wedding, like, something was not going to happen the way it was planned on. And it was because the DJ didn't have his full setup outside.
So he had one full setup with, like, the mixing board and the computer and everything inside.
And then the second
sound system was speakers and then like a plug into his iPad or iPhone.
Yes.
And he what about mic?
And there was a lapel mic. There was on a lapel mic.
Was it a Bluetooth?
You know, I don't know. I just know he did, like, when I've hired, let's say we need to work with a big DJ company like Denon and Doyle, who we've had on the podcast out in the Bay Area, is very similar to a company called La Force, which is out in the DFW area. Like, they have 25 DJs on hand, and you kind of pick your package and you can add this or that, and you create from an a la carte menu. Yeah. One of those options is second system.
Yes.
And usually it's for the ceremony.
And I almost always need a second system for almost every wedding.
Because you don't want the DJ to have to disassemble and reassemble.
Right.
Even if it's only two rooms that are 20 feet apart. If sometimes they offer to just twist the speakers, if it's like outdoors on a patio, and then they just have to twist the speakers indoors.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you want a fully separate system.
Correct.
And you pay for that.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, $300, second system includes a mic, and the DJ will be there to work your ceremony.
Right.
Well, that's what they did. And it just, there was I don't know if something was wrong with his phone or what ended up, or if he wasn't paying attention, I don't know, but it was cringe inducing, Michelle. It was such a bummer because.
Why? Because the songs wouldn't play in time or what?
Yeah, the recessional, I can talk about this because it's not going to be like in photos, you know, it's sound.
Yeah.
But the recessional music was a song that Matt had like spent a lot of time getting just right. I think he had a part in like mixing it himself with his efficient, who is a sound guy, just coincidentally.
Because they're in the podcast business.
Yes. And they do. And the efficient is he does a ton of music in LA for movies and stuff. And anyway, we had practiced at the rehearsal so many times. The efficient's going to say this, and then the DJ's going to press play. And it was timed out to sort of crescendo with their kiss.
Yeah.
And then they were going to do the recessional. Just them. You know, nobody else was going to do a recessional. It was just them walking back down to this beautiful song that was probably one of the most important things to our groom. And it just didn't happen. Like the efficient like said the line and there was no music. And I'm a guest at this point. And I just immediately started sweating and kind of like looked over at the DJ and he was looking at his phone and I just didn't know. To this day, I don't know what happened.
And was Matt like staring like what?
Yes,
is going
in fact,
on?
In fact, the efficient was like, we'll wait. Like, he kind of made a joke because it was so important to them to kiss and then walk down. And the DJ was like, no, just go.
Oh,
just go. So they ended
it?
Up. Yes. And they ended up doing the recessional to no music. And it was such a. This wedding was so gorgeous. And their vows were incredible. Some of the most like emotional and memorable and funny. Just so wonderfully written. I mean, these are two people that are nuts about each other and they're also both artists, you know, and they wrote these wonderful vows and the ceremony was beautiful and the rain held off and like everything was great. And this company is a totally legit, well-reviewed company. He had all the equipment he needed inside. There weren't a ton of red flags except this second system issue. It was not a full second system. It was speakers plugged into a phone. And you know when you're looking at your phone, if you accidentally press one icon. Yeah. You lose the place where you were. And then you have to, maybe he had to log back, like put his code back in. I don't know what happened. I just know that Matt was, I mean, they both were just so bummed. And that sucked that like they're going to remember that about their wedding, I guess. Aww. They rolled with it after that. It's not like it ruined the day. They had an amazing wedding. Really, most of the people at the ceremony didn't even really know what was happening, but all of us that had been at the rehearsal were just like, oh my God. So that was lesson number one, some second system action.
Oh my God.
So just double check, because and I will, as a planner, always double check with DJs from now on. Okay, you said you're going to bring a second system. I just want to clarify that that means you'll have an actual system out there.
Yeah. So I had a similar situation last Sunday, and the DJ was awesome. He, Justin, if you're listening, shout out. You are, oh my God. I actually, did you see that video I posted on Instagram of him tearing up Prince?
Yes. It was, and we should note that it's your Instagram. It's Allure Consulting.
Yeah, it is. It's we don't have an Instagram for the podcast. So I post from Allure Consulting. I guess we should, right?
Well, we have a hashtag. I mean, we'll always hashtag it.
Yeah, we
the Big Wedding
it.
Planning Podcast.
You, yeah.
So look for it that way. But it's hard to take pictures for a podcast. I mean, we're.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not visual.
So anyway, second sound system. So he had a second sound system because we needed it for the ceremony. He had one deck, like you're saying, like one mixing. When I say deck, I guess I'm probably using the wrong terminology. Any DJs out there, feel free to tweet us or send us an email or message on Facebook about any of this, because we would love your input. But he had, like you said, an additional sound system, speakers, lapel mic. But the actual mixer, right, and computer, he would transfer back and forth between the sound systems. Mm-hmm. I didn't love that because there was a bit of like having to wait, right? Mm-hmm. However, so we've got a lapel mic on the Efficient because, and Justin said, like, I'd love to throw in a hand mic as a backup, okay? So that if for some reason the lapel mic doesn't pick everybody up, you know, you grab the hand mic and hand it to the bride and groom when they're, because they wrote their own vows.
Right.
But my groom was adamant that he did not want a handheld mic. So
some
we're
people
like,
get nervous about holding something,
well, yeah,
and reading something, and
yeah, they don't like it, you know. And he's a really great speaker, you know. He knew how to project his voice. He speaks to large groups all the time. So he's like, I do not want a handheld mic. I don't like the way it looks, you know. Blah blah. Fine.
Because the idea is that if the Efficient has a lapel, it basically picks up enough of the bride and groom that they don't need their own mics. That's
however. What we hope. However, here's two problems with that. One, the lapel mic is wireless. So you've got the little thing that you like clip onto the back of the pants of the Efficient, and then there's a, you know, there's a wire that runs up to the microphone and it clips onto her lapel. It's clipped onto her lapel. But there's like a little antenna on that box that clips on the back of the pants. And so I'm not sure if that's Bluetooth or if that's like a radio frequency or what. But it would cut out from time to time. And so here's this beautiful ceremony she wrote. And, you know, it's like a tearjerker and it would like cut out. Now, luckily, there was only 84 guests at this wedding, right? So for the most part, everybody could hear. Maybe the people in the back row couldn't hear great. But here's the other thing. Normally, the lapel mic was picking up the bride and groom, except for the fact that the photographers, who were amazing also, Laurent and Helena were great. Laurent would tell my Efficient when it was time for, you know, the bride's vows, he would ask the Efficient to kind of move aside so he could get some good photos. You know, like he didn't say like, hey, move, but he like motioned to her. And so she stepped away out of the photo, which is great for photos, but it sucks for the audience because all the guests, because my bride was very soft-spoken and because she was very in the moment and she was crying a little bit and she was giving her vows, but not everybody could hear it. So those were my two kind of tips, you know, for second sound system. One, please try to have a handheld mic in case that lapel mic cuts out. Because the DJ will be back there monitoring. And if he sees you grab the mic, he will cut off the feed from the lapel mic and just let the feed from the handheld mic come through the speakers. And two, it does make sense. Like if the photographer wants to get a good shot of your couple and wants the officiant to kind of move out of the shot, that's beautiful for photos, but you're not going to hear the couple. So I now in hindsight wish I would have kind of been like, let's just have the handheld just in case, but.
And you could have had it on a stand, too, so he doesn't actually have to hold it.
Yeah, but then the stand is in the photos. Like, it's best to have, like, a little table off to the side and have it just kind of, like, laying there, you know, and then be able to put it back down.
Right.
But anyway, so, yeah, second sound system. But other than that.
There's just questions to ask with the second sound system. It's not as simple as having, I mean, because we've all done weddings. I did one with you many, many years ago where the sound is actually an iPod with a Shania Twain song on it or whatever, and somebody needs to just press play for the processional. There are weddings like that. Plenty of people can't afford to have a DJ for 8 hours or don't want that or whatever. I had an iPod wedding for my own wedding. But if you're going to go the route of the DJ, it needs to be a little bit more sophisticated than an iPod or phone plugged in straight to a speaker.
Right.
Because there's just too many variables that can go wrong. And in Matt and Amanda's case, this was one of the most important elements to them.
Right. They planned it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one lesson. So just ask questions. And we are going to have a DJ on the podcast at some point. Sometime this summer, we'll record with some awesome DJs and get a more inside track of what are the important questions to ask.
Yeah. Definitely. And we had the Denon and Doyle episode too. But I feel like now that we're like in the season, like, yeah, we should definitely pinpoint some stuff. Okay. And then here's another thing that I learned and something I've known and I've done in the past, but I was like, I got to mention this on the show. So my wedding that I did last Sunday was at Foreign Cinema in San Francisco. And if anyone has been to that restaurant, you know the food is phenomenal. And if you are ever visiting San Francisco, please make a stop there. It's in the Mission District. The food is insane. So one thing that they do there is they have a typically one florist that they work with. But my wedding in particular, that particular Sunday, the usual florist wasn't available. And so she recommended another florist. And Katie from Eothen Florals did the flowers, and they were awesome. But one cool thing about that is if Foreign Cinema has a Saturday wedding and a Sunday wedding, which was the case with our weekend, they will talk to the florist, and they will try to take those ceremony flowers, which are often quite expensive, right? If you do these really huge, beautiful flanking florals. So this is a great idea. If you're at a venue that you know is having another wedding, see if you can get in contact with the couple so that you can both share the cost of the ceremony florals. And it doesn't mean you have to have the exact same flowers. In this case, what they did was there was the florals from Saturday, still beautiful and fresh and huge and amazing. And so our florist went in and she kind of plucked some flowers from it and then put some other florals in that tied in with our florals for the wedding. And cool. Let me tell you, those things can cost upwards of like $300 each, right? Or more.
Yeah.
And you've always got two. So, I mean, that's going to be a really great cost savings for you. So if you're in a venue, like I said, that you know that there's going to be another wedding the same weekend as yours, perhaps even sometimes the same day, right? Morning, evening. Share the cost of those ceremony florals. You're not going to give them away. They're huge, right? The guests aren't going to take them.
And they're hard to transport.
And they're hard to transport.
Most often they just get...
Yeah.
Left.
And oftentimes they're in a humongous urn or stands or whatever. So, A, if you can use the same florist, even better.
That's even better.
Even
yeah.
better. B, let your florists be in communication together and try to share the cost of those.
So this is one of those situations where like all boxes must be checked for it to work, and it's sort of fortuitous and you're like, what luck, we get to do this thing. So why not be the one to ask?
Yeah.
Well, you do the work to just inquire, hey, can we contact your Saturday bride?
Right.
Because I've done this with other weddings, a wedding I did out in near Boston, actually. One wedding on Friday paid to have a bunch of strung lanterns over the yard. And that those lanterns were not going to be picked up until Monday.
Yes.
And there was a Sunday wedding. So my Sunday wedding actually got the lanterns just for free because, you know, it would have been a big hassle for them to have to come take it down. It would have cost the Saturday couple more to have them come Saturday night to take down the lanterns. So it essentially was just this like, oh, wow, I guess we get some free lanterns. But that's not always the way it works. You know, wouldn't you rather know about it and incorporate it into your plan?
Yeah, because the florist might have to come back that Saturday night or Friday night and strike things anyway. So that florist can take away those big, huge florals. But if me, as the bride on Friday night or Saturday night, knows there's going to be a wedding on Sunday, I mean, with Venmo these days, I, as the bride on Saturday, could pay my florist and the couple from Sunday could just, you know, shoot me over half the cost.
Easy
and there
peasy.
You go. You're saving yourself probably $500. So there
and
you go.
And maybe you make a new friend.
And maybe you make a new friend.
You both have something in common. Yeah. You got married at the same beautiful place.
Exactly.
Very good. Very good hint. You heard it here first, people. Okay, so I have one other thing. I'll go with this one since it was, you mentioned photos. With photography and wedding schedules, it's always a little bit, well, if we do this, we're not going to get this. If we do it this way, we won't end up with this.
Right.
And it really comes down to what's important to the couple. And sometimes I think they're making the wrong choice. I know, shocking. I sometimes disagree with my couples, but at the wedding I did that I was a part of in Chicago, I wasn't the planner, but I helped. And the groom he did not want to take a bunch of photos after the ceremony, formal photos, nor did he want to take a lot before the ceremony. And I didn't push him because he's my friend, you know, he's my friend, he's marrying my best friend. But I tried to convince her to sort of, you know how a wife can influence and guide a decision.
Yes.
And then the husband thinks it was his idea.
Absolutely.
So I was trying to make it clear to her. I really, really think when you get these photos months after your wedding, you're going to be scrolling through them for the photos of the two of you that you can blow up and put on your mantle or make the cover of your album or give to your parents, like the two of you. And in my experience, my couples love that time.
Yeah.
And they're so glad that they made time for that. And it's okay that they missed 10 more minutes of cocktail hour or whatever. And I really was trying to convince her that those are the photos that you're going to want. But that was really, really unimportant to them as a couple.
Yeah.
And they hired a photographer specifically because of, like, this photographer was just he was just a crazy person. He took thousands of pictures. He had this crazy level of energy. And they hired him because he shoots these candids so well. He's like in the party. He's on the dance floor. He's up. He's down. He's yelling. He's all over the place. And that's what they loved about him.
I love
that.
So
they made the conscious choice to hire him because they love his style. They love his end product as well, but they love his style and how he shoots. And it was more important to them to get photos of them like interacting with guests and, you know, all of the action shots, the candids, the photojournalism. And it wasn't important for them to get that 10 minutes of alone time, and they didn't do it. And I don't think they're going to regret it for a second. They had the exact kind of wedding that they wanted.
Yeah.
So my lesson was like, oh, I, as a wedding planner, I learned again, other couples have reminded me of this, that just because I know something works logistically well, you know, in the timeline and with all the other factors I'm thinking about, that doesn't mean that it's the right choice for a couple. It's our job as planners to make their choice work for the day, even if we're like, oh my gosh, that's going to be really hard, or there's a red flag. It's still, they got exactly what they wanted and they had an amazing time and their wedding was really amazing. So it reminded me like, okay, they didn't want to take those 10 minutes of pictures and they got the day that they wanted and they really, really loved their day. So
good, good.
Lesson for me there.
That's important. And you know, that kind of reminds me of, I was just talking to my friend about this. It's like when you go to your, you know, kids, let's say your kids are having this really cute little play and you're just like, oh my God, you know, she looks adorable. And you, but you see these parents and the whole time, what are they doing? They're holding up their phone and they're taking pictures or videos and they're watching it through their screen, right? And so it kind of reminds me, my bride this weekend, my bride and groom, I should say, the couple asked their officiant to make that call, that mm-hmm. announcement, this is a ceremony where we want you to just watch. Please do not hold up your phone. Please do not hold up your iPad. Just be here. We've got an amazing photographer. We promise we'll share the wedding website. Just be here. And to that end, your bride and groom probably were like, I just want to have fun. I just want to enjoy this. I don't want to deal with taking those photos after. Same thing with my couple this weekend. God love them. They were like, I really do not want to do all these family photos. I will participate 10 minutes. But before I do that, Michelle, after the ceremony, I want you to take me straight upstairs. And we just want to have our own quiet time. And foreign cinema is very famous for that. They've got their drinks upstairs that they want. They've got appetizers. They've got a beautiful table set up. And I would go up and I gave them a good 10 mm-hmm. minutes before I went up and checked. And at one point I'm like, oh boy, they need to go downstairs. And then I kind of checked myself and I was like, you know what? Freaking let them be. They could spend, you know, an hour up here if they wanted. Their guests are drinking and eating and having a good time.
It's their experience of the day. Yeah. Even if it drives us crazy, it's their experience. And the couple's, you know, you shouldn't be arguing with anyone on your wedding day as a couple. You shouldn't be like having to put your foot down. But the clearer you are with your desires for this wedding, your vision of your wedding, the clearer you are with your vendors, the better chance of it actually happening that way.
Yeah.
And I certainly wasn't on the wedding day going to be like, no, you have to take these photos. Trust me, you're going to want these photos. Yeah. Like after it was apparent that it was going to be 90 seconds worth of formal photos, it was like, of course, you know, this is them. Go enjoy this celebration, which was, you know, by all definitions of a wedding, it's about them.
It's about them. And they, this couple that I had, again, I'm just like raving because it's so fresh. It was just, you know, a week ago. But they were the most laid back, chill. They really experienced every moment to the fullest and in the way they wanted. And as a result, the vibe of the wedding was awesome. The vendors, we were all at ease and working in harmony. And it was just, it was lovely.
So that extra 10 minutes, you could come down and be like, hey, you guys, we're just going to give them another 10 minutes. And everybody was like, cool, that's cool.
Like they love
each other. Like everyone's just present and just rolling with it.
It was really great. So, I mean, that's another tip for you out there, you all getting married, planning your wedding. Just enjoy it. You know, just once that day is here, just sail through. Don't try to control things. Just sail through and take time to really enjoy each other and your guests.
I concur. That is the part of our job that we cannot control someone's attitude on the day of. We can control all the timeline stuff, all the logistics, but if our clients who we just want to have, we want to give them a beautiful wedding, if they choose to get hung up on what's not happening or what didn't go according to plan, or we have to stick to this and this was supposed to happen 5 minutes ago, then the experience of the day is, I mean, it's priceless. We can't give that back. We can't do it again.
Yeah.
So really laying everything out there so that you can enjoy your day and trust your team is paramount.
Totes. So I forgot to mention, I'm back in Boston now. I'm back from my 5 months away. You know, it was a little snowbird. I flew away, me and my husband and the kids, and we spent a huge chunk of time in Mexico City and a humongous chunk of time in the Bay Area, which was amazing. And I loved being home for such a long amount of time, my original home. And now I'm back home in my little house here, and I love it. And I'm working now on a wedding next or this month for Lindsay and Stephanie. I know you guys listen. Hi, ladies. I can't wait. So I'm really excited, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Small wedding, 50 guests, the most important people to them.
I love small weddings.
Small wedding, you know. They're driving out across the country with their dogs and a Subaru and a U-Haul on the back with all the stuff that they are making by hand for this wedding. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm super stoked.
That does sound awesome.
So we have been getting lots of emails, which we love. Thank you all very much. And there was one email in particular that we wanted to read on the show. Christy, you want to read it?
Yes, I'm finding it right now. So she sent an email. She didn't tweet or anything first.
No.
So this is the email. It says, and I think she listens to everyone as well. So shout out to you, Kelly in Denton. My name is Kelly, and I'm obsessed with your podcast.
Thank you. I am too.
Like, just reading that just like makes my heart grow a size. It's everything I didn't know I was missing in my life. I literally take notes like I'm in class, even though I'm in 0% of a relationship. I'm also obsessed with weddings, and my dream is to one day professionally plan them and not in the wedding planner fantasy kind of way. Sue's referencing the J-Lo movie we all know and love hate. I'm a senior at the University of North Texas. I'm majoring in elementary education, which has nothing to do with wedding planning, except that there is a fair bit of wrangling. So my question is, how do I go about, quote, breaking into the wedding planning industry without any real planning, training, or experience? Although I have planned some dinner parties and I can plan a mean field trip. Oh, I just love her. In late December, when I graduate, I'll be in Dallas full time. Would it be appropriate to email companies introducing myself and expressing an interest in learning from planners, or to elaborate on how I would make myself stand out from the countless other people who email them? Will it look bad that I seem unqualified since I have no actual planning experience? Also, would it look bad to send emails to lots of different planners, or is that tacky? Like, is there a Dallas wedding planner group chat that is secret and I will be admonished on it? Sorry for question overload. I know your podcast is more for brides than planners, but I couldn't help but pick your brain. So it turns out she lives like 20 minutes away from me. So this is kismet. And I reached out to her and said, that we were going to talk about this on the podcast, and then also that I would get back to her after my crazy May, and maybe she could meet me in my office and pick my brain in person a little bit. So that's going to happen, which is really exciting. But what's your take, Michelle? What do you think the answer to these questions is, knowing that you got a lot of emails like this back in the day?
Including you.
Including yours truly. Yeah. And look how well that turned out.
Look at that.
What a risk you took.
Holy shit.
I'd say it really paid off.
Yeah. No, I Kelly, thank you so much for the compliments, first of all. And I love that you love this show. I would have totally loved this show, too, if I was listening to it. I just want to say. But no, I think the biggest question that stood out is, you know, how do I go about this despite the fact that I have zero experience other than planning some cool stuff? You know, right now I wouldn't, you know, necessarily be sending a lot of emails to anyone in the industry, because they will literally be like, go away. I'm busy.
Right now being the middle of wedding
right
season.
Right now being the middle of wedding season. What I would recommend to anybody out there, you need experience. Maybe get a part-time job in a hotel, in a restaurant, something like that, and just start getting into the hospitality business. Get some experience. See where that leads you. Maybe for a catering company.
Mm-hmm. Weekends only. Yeah, I think that's a good, and assisting somebody on events for free or as like a shadow or, free. You know, that is going to be also very helpful. And like Michelle said, maybe reaching out to some planners or anybody that does installations and asking them after wedding season if they want some help, because you're just looking to get your hands on some weddings, and then you can go from there. And our next step is going to be to get certified, because we are big proponents of that education as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that was a lot today.
We have talked a lot, but we love it, and we love you guys for listening, all of yous out there. Christy, please give them our Twitter handle.
Yes, at TBWP Podcast. And you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we will address your letters and tweets. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Find us on Facebook. And hey, if you have a moment to rate and review us on iTunes, seriously, we would really appreciate it. We have quite a few already, and we love reading more, and it helps get the word out. If you know anybody getting married, pass us along. And thank you so much for listening. Christy, I know you got to run. Have an awesome day out there in Dallas.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.
Bye.